Good morning. It is good to see everyone out. The weather is able, we're all able to be out and to come together and to spend time in the study of God's Word. You know, it's encouraging to study the Old Testament. We can learn a lot from the individuals who lived during the days of the Old Testament. We've been studying from the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and are going into the book of Numbers, studying about the Israelites. And you know, just in the book of Genesis alone, we can see those who had to stand on their own. We can look at Joseph, who pretty much was left to his own device to stand for God in a godless land. Going into other passages of Scripture, we can look and see where Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he was willing to face all the difficulties that were thrown at him and to remain faithful to God, even to the point of going and being in the lion's den. We can look over at Elijah. And we can remember the story of Elijah and how he stood against all the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel and remained faithful to the Lord, even in the face of the king and the queen of the nation of Israel and all the other Jews that were there. Jonah being willing to go, a little bit reluctant in the beginning, but eventually being willing to go and to face the Ninevites, the enemy of the nation of Israel, and to go and to walk through their capital city, preaching gloom and doom and destruction to them. Even against what he wanted to do, he saw that it was necessary to do God's will. Jeremiah and pretty much all of the prophets of God at one time or another had to stand alone. And we can see throughout the scripture readings that we're doing, you know, how Jeremiah was really, everybody was against him, the kings and the people, and no one wanted to listen to him. And he just felt completely and totally alone. But yet, even with all of that, they continued to remain faithful to the Lord and to continue to do the Lord's work. But you know, there are other places where we can read of those who stood for the Lord and they had a little bit of encouragement. One of those might would be Noah. When you look at the building of the ark, we oftentimes look at Noah by himself. We're told in the writings of Peter that he was a preacher of righteousness. And for 100 years, he spent building that ark. But he was not alone. He had his sons and his wife and his sons' wives there to encourage him. And I'm sure that was a great encouragement to come home after a day of ridicule out there working hard and building the ark to know that his sons and his wife and his sons' wives were there along with him, encouraging him in this. And, you know, we can come to another story, and that is that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when we look at them, we see three young men. And I don't think we really understand the gravity of the situation here. These are three young men that have been carried away. If you go back to Daniel chapter 1, in Daniel chapter 1, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego along with Daniel. And we see that they are those that were brought together with the select of the Jews. And if you look there, beginning in verse 3, it says, "And the king," that is Nebuchadnezzar, "ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans." And we can see that among those that we see Daniel was there. It says in verse 6, "Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego." And we can see in the latter part of that Daniel, and it appears that he was joined by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in refusing the king's portions and desiring to be fed only with that which would have been kosher for them, that which they could have been assured was pleasing in the sight of God. And they were willing to stand out in that, and they were blessed in that. But as we go further, we can see, and let's remember, these are young men, and they're carried far away from home. Their parents are nowhere in sight. They've been placed into positions of power, and yet they begin to face difficulties. And so let's go over to Daniel chapter 3. And if you'll bear with me, let's read Daniel chapter 3, because I'm sure many of us are familiar with this, but maybe some of us have forgotten certain portions of the story. And so I've always found that it's better to just go ahead and to read it. In Daniel chapter 3, beginning there in verse 1, it says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to those men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other god who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. You know, as we look at this story, we see these three young men. And let's keep that in mind. These are young men. Late teens, early 20s probably, somewhere around in there. Definitely younger than 30. And they're carried off into a foreign land, and they're placed there in positions of power. They're among the rulers that have been carried up there, and they've been given all the knowledge that the Chaldeans had, and so they had received the finest education that was available. They had been given a lot of privileges. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, he goes and he commands that this be set up, and they refuse to bow down. We need to remember that these three men were ordinary people, just like you and I. Just like me, they were just ordinary individuals. They went about their daily life, but when their faith was severely tested, they remained strong. When the questions were placed before them, are you going to serve God or the gods of those around you? They, like Joshua, said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they didn't care who said, bow down before this graven image. They refused. They were not going to bow down before anything. They were going to keep the commands of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, we are told to be on the alert, to stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. And we need to know that God will be with and abundantly bless all those who bravely make their stand for Him and His cause. As we read in the 23rd Psalm, there in the 4th verse, the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now let's think about that as we go into our lesson. And as we look at the things that were being placed before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we make some application to the world that we live in, we don't have a world leader that's going to throw up just yet, that's going to throw up some golden image and require us to bow down. But we don't know what might be required of us by our employers, by our friends, by the schools that we attend. We don't know what the world might require of us that we might need to go, no, I refuse. And so studying a lesson such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have a great importance to us today. And so let's first of all look at the command that was given by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now let's think about this image. We're told that this image was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. That comes out to about 90 feet high and 9 feet thick. Now, I'm not real good with it, but I'm pretty sure it'd be taller than this building. 90 feet would definitely probably be taller than this building. In other words, you put it up there and you'd be able to see it for a good ways off. And I don't care how far off you were, you could see it and you could hear all the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipes. You could hear all these things going off. There was no way that you could go, well, I didn't see the image, so I didn't know that I was supposed to bow down. And with all the instruments that were going off, there's no way. Have you ever listened to a bagpipe from afar? One of the reasons the bagpipes were taken up by the Scottish was because they could be blown upon the hilltops and they could hear from afar. And they could call the troops to war, just like the horns of the Israelites. These were things that would carry over the distance. And so this was not something that you could just look at and go, well, I was mistaken. And note that the punishment that was to be given to the individuals who refused to bow down was severe. It wasn't just you're going to go spend a couple of nights in prison. It wasn't, well, you're going to have to pay a certain fine, but we read there in verse 6, whosoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Now, I've seen some blazing fires before, and I can guarantee you I don't want to be cast in the midst of any of it. But when it comes down to serving God, we've got to be willing to take whatever there is that the world can throw at us. You know, I'm sure that when we look at the first century Christians, we can see that many of them probably took comfort from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were being required to bow down before the idols of Caesar. And they said, nope, not going to do it. And they were being placed into the bellies of idols and lit on fire and dipped in wax and hung from the streets of Rome and lit on fire. They could think, well, God cared for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and maybe He'll care for me as well. If not in this world, then He will in the world to come. Consider the pressures of the situation. Now, when you look there, you see that the king sent out and he brought in together all the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces of his kingdom. Now, you think about the Babylonian Empire was the biggest kingdom of its day. It had a lot of provinces. And so he was bringing in everybody from all these different sections. He was bringing them together. Here, look at what I made. Now, this would be like bringing in all the governors and all of the attorney generals of all the states and all the treasurers of all the states and all the workers. And of course, we have a huge bureaucracy. But you just think, well, there on the mall in Washington, D.C., they have all the important people from all the states coming together and all the representatives of all the states coming together. That's essentially what was happening here in Babylon. He was bringing them all together there in the plain of Ur, just outside the city of Babylon, so that they could all see the great and wonderful work that he had done. Consider the peer pressure here, folks. Think about it for just a moment. These individuals were just like all these others. They had a similar job. They were among the satraps and the prefects. They were among the governors. They were there and all the other rulers. And it would have been very easy for someone to fall down. In verse 7, it says, therefore, at that time when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, you just imagine. Just imagine the largest gathering you've ever seen in your life, and everybody's standing up, and at a certain sound, everybody sits down. If there's a couple of guys that aren't sitting, it's going to stand out, isn't it? And that's exactly what they were facing. There was no way that they could go, oh no, that wasn't us. Anyone who bowed down could see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not bowing down. It would have been very easy for them to go, well, everyone else was doing it. And this is the attitude that many people have sometimes. Well, you know, everybody else does it. And I don't think you can be a parent for very long and not have your kids go, well, so-and-so's doing it. All my friends are doing it. And I don't think you can be a parent for very long and not let those words slip out of your mouth, even if you work really hard not to. Well, if everybody jumped off the bridge, you're going to jump with them? That's just a common phrase. We heard it growing up, and we pass it on to others. But here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody else, all the nations that have been brought together, bow down. You know, the fear of persecution from fellow peers is one of the greatest hindrances to serving God. We want to be thought well of by those that we work with, by those that we go to school with. We want to be liked. It's just human nature, I think, to want to be liked, to want to be a part of something. And it's real easy to let certain things slide so that we can be a part of something. But we need to be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you look there in John chapter 12, there in verse 42, we see that the rulers of the synagogue were believing in Jesus. It says, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved, what's that say there? They loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. We find ourselves in that situation sometimes when we're around our friends, when we're around our coworkers. If everyone else is doing something or if they're not doing something, few have the strength to be different. I remember Jeff was very different. Don't tell him I said this. He'll be here in a couple of weeks, but he may not want it remembered. But it's not fun following a brother such as him in high school. A brother who wears a suit to school, high school. And so I'm going to be the exact opposite. Now you imagine if your brother wore a suit to school and he was the biggest geek there was in the school and this was a school of preppies and everything. And but you know what? When I look back now, Jeff dared to be different. He dared to walk his own road. He dared to do what he wanted to do despite what the world thought. At that time, I thought he was the biggest goofball the world had ever seen. But, you know, I look back and I have a little bit more respect for him. And we need to think about these things. We need to be willing, even if everybody laughs at us, I'm not saying you have to wear a suit to school, but even if the rest of the world laughs at us because we refuse to follow the fashions of the day, because maybe our skirts are a little bit longer or our shirts are a little bit higher cut and maybe as guys, we actually wear a shirt when we go out to play football or baseball. We dress in a more modest way. Yeah, okay, they'll make fun of us. So what? We should love the praise of God rather than the approval of men. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, there we read that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Not to be conformed to this world. Not to be like it, not to look like it, smell like it, taste like it, but to be transformed, be different. To be something that people can look at and go, well, he's not like everybody else. She's different. And that's what you get with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, isn't it? Everybody else is bowing down, but they're different. They're standing. They're refusing. It's just like when you go to certain places and they have the prayer before, and you know that that person praying, I know in some high schools they have the chaplain, and a lot of times the chaplain nowadays will end up being a female. And everybody bows their head to pray. If someone's doing something that they shouldn't be doing, we need to be willing to keep our heads up. We need to be willing to be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If everyone else is dressing immodestly, if everyone else is going and seeing things that they shouldn't see, or speaking in a way that they shouldn't speak, why should we succumb to the pressures of this world? Why shouldn't we make a stand for God's way? And so when we see the commands of this world, you've got to look like this, and you've got to act like this. We need to go, no, I'd rather serve the Lord, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now as you go further in what we read there in verses 8 through 18, we really see a section you could call this faith declared. Here they've already shown their belief in God and their disbelief in the God that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar. But here, they're even in the face of the king, they're willing to continue to stand. And we see there in verses 8 through 18 that certain of the Chaldeans, the other leaders, the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the treasurers, they come up and they're like, you, king, you made this decree that everyone who was before this was to bow down, right? Yeah, I said that. Well, there's certain of the Jews, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they didn't name off everyone. And it seems that many of the Jews refused to bow down. And Daniel could have been one of those mentioned. Daniel may have been somewhere else. We don't know about that. But they singled out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we can see by reading the entirety of the book of Daniel that they didn't like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they did everything they could to try to harm Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why the whole lion's den came in, is because they didn't like them. But here they say, well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to bow down. And you know, you can see there in verse 12, this is disrespectful to you. These men have disregarded you, O king. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Now, just like any good leader, he gets mad. I told them to do something, they didn't do it. You ever done that as a father? You tell your kids to go and do something and they refuse and you get a little angry. But he was showing a little bit of fairness, and he brought them to him and says, this is true. In verse 14, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now I'm going to give you another chance. We see there in verse 15. Here's your second chance. Now he had given the command that if you didn't bow down, you're going to immediately be cast into the fiery furnace. But here, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to have the harps and the lyres and the flutes and the psaltery and the bagpipe, the trigon, all these things are going to be blown, and here's your chance. If you'll bow down, everything's good. I like you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't want to do this. I'll give you another chance. What do we see there? We see that they refuse. He gives them the opportunity, and they continue to stand steadfast. When you look there in verses 17 through 18, we can see the profound faith of these three Hebrews. In verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Note there, they say, our God whom we serve is able. That's the beginning of their statement. You say he can't, we say he can. If he wants to, he can. That's the thing. But they go further and say, even if he chooses not to at this time, it doesn't make a difference, king. We know that he can, but if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow down to your golden image. They were ready to die for their faith. And folks, we too need to be willing to boldly declare our faith in God. We too need to be willing to boldly state, I'm a child of God. I will not follow in the ways of this world. At times, we need to understand God may not choose to deliver us, and figuratively speaking, we may be thrown into the furnace of fire. But no matter what might be threatened, whether it be firing from our jobs, a loss of promotion, the hatred or dislike of our friends and our peers, no matter what, we need to be willing to stand for the Lord. In Luke chapter 9, there in verse 26, Jesus said, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." When people are talking down about Christianity, do you walk away with your head hung low? Or do you stand there with your head held high and be an example of Christianity? When they cast their jokes and their disparaging words, do you just kind of chuckle and walk away? Or do you let them know the displeasure that you have for the things that they're saying? Do you let them know that you are not ashamed to be called a child of God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, once again we're told to be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. The idea there is one who's willing to stand in the face of anything. That lone individual is willing to go into the heat of the battle and is willing to continue to fight faithfully for the Lord, even if no one else will come with him. He's talking about being a Noah, being an Elijah, going up before the prophets of Baal, being a Jonah, going and walking through the heathen city of Nineveh, preaching God, preaching destruction. He's talking about being a Jeremiah. Even when your people are turning against you and are casting you into prison and throwing you into the wells and not giving you anything to eat, you still remain faithful to the Lord. That's the way that we need to be. In Ephesians chapter 6, there in verse 13, we're told, "Therefore take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Think about these things. Think about what the Lord is asking of you. Think about the things that you face in your life. Lord willing, we'll look at the rest of this lesson this evening, but let's keep that in mind as we go throughout our lives. Let's keep in mind what the Lord has asked of us to do, that He has asked of us to remain faithful to Him, even in the face of trials and tribulations. And consider yourself lucky, because there's no one now that's saying you're going to be cast into a fiery furnace. There's no one now saying, turn against the Lord or be beheaded. The trials that we face today are light and easy compared to what the Apostle Paul called momentary light affliction. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord today. Serve the Lord every day. Even when your family says, no, don't. Serve Him. When your friends are saying, come on, let's go do this, go, no, I can't. I'm a child of God. And when they laugh at you because you say that, go, doesn't matter. I prefer the approval of God rather than the approval of men. When you're having to stand all alone, you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and there they were amongst all the other people, amongst all the other rulers there in front of Nebuchadnezzar, in front of the mightiest king of their day, and they were saying, we don't care what you say, O mighty king, we're going to serve the Lord. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a choice that you will make this day. When you leave this building this morning, you will have either made the choice, I'm going to serve the Lord faithfully, or I'm going to be a part of the world. And we can look throughout the scriptures and we can see that those who are part of the world face eternal damnation. But those who serve the Lord, those who remain faithful even in the face of fiery furnaces, have an eternal abode in heaven. Perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel. Today is the day for you to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to stand alone against the world in faithful obedience to the Lord. Many of the world go, you don't have to do that. You don't have to come forward and be baptized. All you have to do is say, I believe. Well, that's not what the scriptures say. In the scriptures, we're told that you must believe and be baptized. We're told that the Apostle Paul there, he was told, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, that you can't have your sins washed away in any other way. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you have a desire to be faithful to His call, obey it today. Today, not tomorrow, not the next year, but today, because we do not know when the Lord will return. Perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you've been like others. You failed to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You failed in the peer pressure department. And it's nothing necessary to be ashamed of, because you know what? Every single one of us has. That's at least one or twice or 100 times in our lives. Perhaps you need to repent of that sin and be returned to a faithful service to God and be willing to stand again like Joshua and to stand like Daniel and to stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and be faithful to God and in spite of what your friends and your family and your neighbors might have you to do. Whatever your situation is, make it right today as we stand and as we sing.